Well, good morning, everyone. And again, thank you for joining us and spending time. You've got a lot of choices, and I just am so appreciative that you would choose to spend time with us in studying God's Word today. We're going to begin a new session today, or a new series, I should say, certainly a new session, but a new series. And we're going to be talking about In His Presence. And I believe it. This is something the Lord wants us to study. So we can, if I could use the phrase, turn it up a notch as we approach the time of our Lord's coming, which I believe is near. And as I've told you before, we've been all called to be His witnesses. That's His plan. There is no plan B. We are it. And He's created us in His image to fulfill these duties that we have of proclaiming the gospel. But I want to just say the choice is ours. It's a decision we have to make. Let me read you a verse from Jeremiah 13, the 11th chapter. It's a verse that the Lord actually gave to me prior to us moving to Macon over 13 years ago. And it just, I've never been able to get it to a point where it just doesn't touch my heart every time I read it. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking, and this is what he says. He's speaking from the Lord. For as the sash or the belt clings to the waist of a man, so I have called the whole household of Israel and the whole house of Judah, both northern and southern tribes, to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become. So he already has referred to them as his creation, but they may become. That means they have to realize and be willing to walk in what he is saying here. And the same is exactly true about us. That they may become my people, taking responsibility for us, for renown. Now, what does that mean? That means their people are known. They have a name that is recognized, but it's not their name. It's the name of the Lord upon him, because people are seeing all his goodness poured out upon them. And then it says, become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. Now, the praise doesn't come to us. We don't want it. We want that praise to go to the one who's giving us all these good things, who's loving us, who's setting us apart, who has set us apart from the world to himself. And that's such an important concept, and really that's the whole focus of what we're talking about today. So we're to be this people. But the way this verse concludes is some of the saddest four or five words, I think, in Scripture. Because it says, but they would not hear. And that's a choice we have to make, as I said. Now Mark 4, the 24th verse, Jesus is talking, and he makes this statement. He said to them, take heed or take care what you hear. So he's saying, be careful what you hear, because what you hear, you're making room for inside of you. And what you make room for, you're giving power to. He says, with the same measure you use, in other words, how you're hearing, it will be measured to you. So if you're being attentive and listening, then it's going to be given to you. And then it goes on to say, and to you who do hear, more will be given. And that's where I think we are now, taking us to this more, taking us to this next level that he wants us in. Now, if I asked you, and I've shared this a couple of times, but I don't think really recently, if I asked you, what words would you like the Lord to speak over you? Then I think what I'm about to tell you would be the primary answer that I would get. Now, I'm relating back to a time when I went walking on a cold morning here in Macon, not at where we're living today, but years ago. And I can even see the house that I was walking in front of as I was just praising the Lord for who He is. And I said to Him, Lord, I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. This is in Matthew 25:21. And he goes on to say, you were faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many. And then here's a phrase we don't get to a lot of times. The Lord says, enter into the joy of your Lord. That place of joy where where we're just rejoicing constantly. And as soon as I said this, I heard the Lord ask me, I don't mean in an audible voice, but in my spirit, man. And this is what he said. May I ask you to consider another verse? How do you say no to the Lord? And Mark 1 verse 11 is what he then spoke. And it reads, then a voice came from heaven, and this is what it said. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, that hit me hard. My first reaction was, no, Lord, that's about Jesus when the Spirit came on him. That's not about me. But that's what he said. And so I realized as I walked and as I thought about it, I had to begin to see this verse being applicable to my life. You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, I can see how that's a verse that I would definitely want, even more than trying to attain rewards in heaven, just to know that I pleased him in that manner. But in what manner? Well, think about Jesus. Jesus is our example, so why would he bring this up? Because Jesus completely fulfilled the will of his Father, accomplishing every purpose that he sent him to do, as he created him as a man to do. And he did this before the Spirit came upon him and after the Spirit came upon him. And I may mention it again, but let me just remind you, Jesus didn't come into this world omniscient, omnipresent. He became as a man. So he had to learn, and we'll chat about that in just a moment. He had to learn who he was, and more importantly, why he was sent. So I would ask you, what is your reaction to hearing that this is spoken over you? Can you see yourself in this verse? And saints, we all need to be able to see ourselves in this verse, because where are we? We're in him. We're in the resurrected Savior, the one that has brought great pleasure to the Lord. Now, while there was a definite purpose for Jesus to come and become a man, the only begotten Son of God, there are a lot of things that are spoken about Jesus that are truth that people associate with the reason he came. For instance, if I said to you, looking at the book of John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, you'd say, yeah, that's why he came, so he could be a man just like us. That is true, but that's not the purpose. Yeah, how about, for grace and truth came to earth? That's in John 1:17. That's absolutely true, but I would say the same thing about it. I would also say to show us the Father, because he was the exact image of the Father, exact representation. And that was important. But again, that's not the reason or purpose. And then finally, we might say, well, he came to do the works of the Father. That was his purpose. No, that was what he did on earth to fulfill his purpose. The reason or the purpose that Jesus came is redemption. His birth, his life, a life filled with fellowship in the Father. And that's why I'm bringing this up now as we talk about being in his presence in this series and today. His death, all leading up to include his resurrection, that work of redemption that was for us. And we often think, and so many in the church think, it's just a ticket to heaven. No. It is not just a ticket to heaven. He came to earth to restore fellowship for us back with the Father. To restore what Adam lost in the garden. That intimate walking and talking with him in the garden. And it doesn't wait to begin till we get to heaven. It's now. It is today. And this truth is key for you and I. And I want to read this so that I say it just exactly as I wrote it. This restored fellowship is the foundation for discovering the purpose of God that he has for each of us as individuals. Now, corporately, I've already said, we're called to proclaim the gospel. But individually, he's got different things that he wants us to do, different purposes. It is in this position of being in Him and fellowshipping with Him where we find all we need to be made or to become this person of renown that we saw He's called us to be. That's where it starts, and it never ends there. And it's all to be for His praise and for His glory. Now, purpose. Let's make sure we're talking about the same thing. So let's define this. The dictionary says purpose is something set as an object or an objective. In other words, something that is put before us and said, this is yours to accomplish. Another definition of it is something to be attained. So you can see how those two relate. And really and truly, what it's saying is if we do and understand purpose, then we're understanding the why, that big question we always ask, why was I created? What do you want me to do? The why and what questions are answered. Now let's back up a minute and just show the importance of this. And I'm going to use a stupid example, but I think it illustrates it perfectly. If the purpose, the objective of something to be attained is not known, then what is the impact of that? And the example I'm going to use is, again, you may probably laugh, but listen, because it shows that if we don't know our purpose, what the impact we can have is upon others and ourselves. So think about a game. And the example I used in teaching this part of this recently is, can you imagine playing baseball with football's rules? Even numbers of players on the field at the same time, totally different. Referees and umpires confused as to what they're calling, what they're doing. And I'm going to tell you, this impacts both the participants as well as those fans in an athletic event who are looking on. But what is the result of all this math chaos? Because no one knows the purpose of what they're trying to do, to run a touchdown or to score runs. And what is the result of that? Well, can you imagine the frustration that both fans and players would feel? Confusion results. Even conflicts can arise in arguments. Indecision, not being convinced of what is absolute. Dissatisfied, just can't enjoy it anymore. And it also would create fatigue because you're doing things that are not possible to fully understand, and you can't accomplish two diverse objectives. And then finally, if you're not careful, it's going to result in the players quitting and the fans leaving. Now, I also want to say, when you get in this kind of environment where it's not clear, abuse can come. Someone can do things that causes harm to others. And it's not just the people on the field, but it's the fans as well. And what I want to tell you is that that's the same thing that can happen to us when we don't know this grand design, this thing that a lot of us think is just too hard to know, or He's not going to tell us. We're just going to have to live and figure it out. That's not the way it works. And this can happen to us as believers today. So let's ask the question and go back to some basics. Why was man? Why was I? Why were you created? What is my purpose? What is your purpose? What is our primary reason for existing? And we get this in understanding this by looking at Revelation 4:11. Now, 4:11 is a verse that's describing what's going on with the 24 elders. And they're worshiping. And here's what they're saying. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. Now, I would add, including man, to which He said what? It was very good. And it concludes by saying, and for Thy pleasure they were created. Now, some translations say, for Thy will they were created. So, we were created, and our creation was for being tied into God being taking pleasure in us. Tying it also to being taking pleasure in His will and us doing His will as well. Let's look at another example. Psalm 147, verse 11, in the Amplified, I'm going to read it. The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear Him, those who hope in His mercy and loving kindness. And all of those descriptors define who we are. So He takes pleasure in you. He wants and He is pleased with us as His born-again creation today. So now we ask the question, can I see Him taking pleasure in me? So let's just chat for a moment about what then is His pleasure concerning you and me. What pleases Him? Now we know He loves to give us good things. Does that please Him? How about prospering? And the answer would be yes. How about prospering us and giving us health? And the answer to that is yes. But it's not our purpose to have things. How about to give us dominion so we can rule over this world? Yes, He did that. He is pleased when we do it. But that's not the purpose. And I could go on and on and on. We find our purpose going all the way back to Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. Adam and Eve have sinned. And so even after the sin, this is happening. It says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Now, why would they hide themselves? Well, because they knew He was coming looking for them. Because He did this, I believe, every day. To do what? Come to fellowship with His creation, with His man. And when I say man, I'm saying mankind. But they hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. And it says they hid themselves amongst the trees in the presence of the Lord. You know, when you don't think God is pleased with you, you can hide. You can go to a church and hide in the crowd at church. You can hide by staying away and thinking if you don't go there. So we see a lot of the same tendencies, and it's all because of condemnation, and being in His presence, will take that away. And then it continues, as the Lord says in verse 9, the Lord God called out to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And so what are we seeing here? He was coming to spend time because He finds pleasure in spending time with us. In this fellowship, in this personal relationship, spending time together with you, this brings pleasure to the Lord. And I just want to say, it's also where we find our purpose. Now let's look at another scripture that validates this. 1 John, first chapter, more about fellowship. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And He says, but our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So He's saying, this is who we're fellowshipping with, and we just want you to be fellowshipping with us, with the Father. And He goes on to write in verse 4, and says, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy. Having that joy that just abounds and overflows begins in our fellowship with Him, not just in our doing things as we feel like we must do for Him. His pleasure is for us to come to know and experience His loving kindness, His strong love for us. And I'm not talking about that love being demonstrated just in things, but in spending time with Him like we would with a spouse or a loved one or a dear friend that we care about. Or for those of you who are my age, if you've got grandkids, how special it is to spend time with them. So special. I mean, that's making memories that we will take basically up until we leave this earth. But its Father wants us to pursue this relationship by being in His presence, knowing Him who is love. Psalm 16, verse 11 says this, "You will show me the path of life." Now, some people who really study this saying that's talking about, I'll show you the path of life, being raised from the dead to being born again. And I can see that as being true in how it's being used. But he also is saying, I will show you the way you should live life, the path I have planned for you. Because he's written all these things in a book about our life already. And so what he's saying is, I'm going to show you how I want you to live and what you're going to be able to do. And then he says, the psalmist is saying, in your presence is fullness of joy. There's that joy again. And where is that joy? In his presence. And then it says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, who's at his right hand? Jesus is. So if I ask you, with a little more emphasis, who's at his right hand? Then I hope you're sitting there thinking, well, Jesus is, but I am too, because I'm in Jesus right now. We're here on this earth, but in the Spirit, we are with our Lord Jesus. Fullness of joy. And it's just reinforced again here. Now, Jesus understood that this principle applied to him also. Because what did we say? He laid aside his deity. He had to learn the will of God for himself. He had to spend time with the Father, experiencing this love as a man on the earth like us. And he also had to find himself and what was said about himself, what he was to do in the Word of God, which he was. And that's why in Luke 4, 18, 19, around in there, it says he opened the scroll and he found where it was written. And I would say he found himself. So he learned his purpose by fellowshipping and by studying the Word and the Father revealing that Word to him, I believe, as they fellowshipped together. Now, Jesus realized his purpose and he was intent on accomplishing it. And he did so after he learned by continuing to spend time alone with his Father. You know, he said in John 8, 28, and I think verse 29, he says it, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. How could he say that? Because in that one-on-one time with the Father, he learned what was important. John 5, he said, I do not seek my own will. All right, let's change that. I do not seek my own pleasure. So what is he saying here? The will of the Father brings pleasure to him, but it also brings pleasure to me. And then Matthew 26, when he's there sweating blood, it says, let this cup pass from me, yet nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So he was constantly humbling himself and submitting himself to the Lord. And that began in the presence of the Lord. And so every time Jesus had a big decision to make, he didn't just go, well, I think. He went and sought the Lord. He continually sought direction for him. Even when he had to name the 12 disciples. It says in Luke 6, verse 12 about this, and it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to the Lord. Now, the word that's used for prayer there is two words put together. One means to wish or to pray. The other means face to face. So he went and had FaceTime with his Father all night long. And part of what this word means is not only prayer or supplication, but it also means worship. And I just want to say to you, worshiping is a key part of what we do. And we'll begin to see that in our session next week. So in fellowship, Jesus found great comfort. He found peace. And it was a comfort and peace that allowed him to go to the cross. In John 16, some of the last words he spoke to his Father, to his disciples before going to the Father, he said this, indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, it has now come, and you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Now, here's where I want you to pay attention. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He'd fellowship with the Father so much that as he walked and talked, he heard the Father, he knew he was there, he could speak and talk to him and ask questions. And then he says to us, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Now, when he said, "In me you will have peace," when the angels came and said, "The Savior's coming," and was proclaiming joy and glad tidings and peace on earth, goodwill to men, they weren't saying a time of no war is coming. They're saying that what has separated you, the people of this earth, and God is now being removed. There is now peace between you and God. And that comes through what? That comes through us having this revelation. Jesus always pleased the Father by doing so. And I want to close as we begin to say this to you. Being led by the Holy Spirit, just as we are to do. But it all started with fellowship with the Father. And we too can have this same assurance that He did. We are not alone, because the Father with whom we fellowship and Jesus are with us. They are in us. Knowing this, we can fulfill then whatever purpose, whatever assignment that is given to us. And so next week, we're going to be starting looking at finding our purpose and doing it just like Jesus did. So thank you for joining us today. I trust this has been a lot to you. And I think what we're going to be seeing in the coming days will again position us to take this very next step that He wants us to take. We'll see you next week. Thanks again for joining us.